Good morning, everyone. God bless everyone. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. And we're the Delaney's are gone, so our music department is shut down for today. You have to bear with us and sing loud. Let's just sing that song, stand and sing that song, Creating Me a Clean Heart. I mean, how many come expecting today, amen? We have Brother Ben Narod with us today, amen. We're come expecting God to use him mighty, amen, and just pull on the gift of God, amen. Amen. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Present, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Sing that again. Create in me a clean heart. O Lord, create in me a clean heart. O God. Yes, Lord. And renew a right spirit within me. O Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. O Lord, and cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy whole, hallelujah, Lord, from me. O Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away, O Lord, and cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. And hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lamb. My heart sings his praise.
raised again. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Sing it to him again. Oh, and hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Oh, and hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Oh, my heart sings his praise again. Hallelujah, praise. Just sing it to him. Raise your hands and sing it. Oh, and hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, and hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Oh, my heart sings his praise again. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Amen. Give the Lord a round of applause, saints. Amen. Isn't he worthy? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we praise the Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Isn't he wonderful, saints? Amen. We do have a testimony here from Sister Cindy. Praise the Lord. I just want to say thank you to God for always blessing our family and for the love he shows us every day. And thank him for the car that we were able to buy. It's not perfect, but with God's love, it is. Amen. So, amen. Give the Lord a round of applause for that. Amen. 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 I'm sure each and every one of us have a testimony, amen, that God has done something in their lives this week. Amen. But we just, how many would have a need of prayer today? Amen. Just say, something I need from you today, Lord. Amen. I'm just going to ask Brother David Loberger if he'd come lead us in a word of prayer. Also for the tithes and the offerings. Isn't the Lord wonderful, saints? Amen. He's always supplying all our needs. Amen.
Bow our heads. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the opportunity to come to worship you and bless your name, Lord Jesus. And I ask you, Lord, just to be with our brother, Lord, as he's traveling back home from Georgia, Lord. You, Lord, just guide and protect him, Lord. You, Lord, just bless Brother Ben, Lord, as he brings the word. Guide him, use him for your glory, Lord. Give him the word to speak. I ask you, Lord, just to bless the tithe and offering, use them for your glory. Amen.
Amen. Let's just sing that song, Every Promise in the Book is Mine, every chapter, every verse, every line. If there's something you need from God today, if it's in his word, it's for you. Amen. Amen. He's promised it. Amen. And every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line, I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Oh, every promise in the book is mine. Oh, every chapter, every verse, every line, I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Hallelujah. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line, I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. One more time. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Well, I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book
is mine. Amen. Amen. Is every promise yours, saints? And let's just sing that song, up the mountain, down in the valley, Jerusalem is my home, amen. Amen. Is it your home? Amen. It ought to be your home, amen. And up the mountain, down in the valley, Jerusalem is my home. Hallelujah. Up the mountain, down in the valley, Jerusalem is my home. Whoa, home, home sweet home. Jerusalem is my home. Hallelujah. Home, home sweet home. Jerusalem is my home. Up the mountain, down in the valley, Jerusalem is my home. Hallelujah. Up the mountain, down in the valley, Jerusalem is my home. Singing louder, home, home sweet home. Jerusalem is my home. Hallelujah. Home, home sweet home. Jerusalem is my home. Amen. Amen. Why don't we sing that one more time, saints? Amen. But I want to see you jump as high as you can, because one of these days we're going to take a jump, and it might just be today, so we don't want to miss out on jumping up. Amen. Amen. We'll up the mountain, down in the valley, Jerusalem is my home. Hallelujah. Up the mountain, down in the valley, Jerusalem. We'll sing in home, sweet home. Jerusalem is my hallelujah, home sweet home. Jerusalem is up the mountain, down in the valley. Jerusalem is my up the mountain, down in the valley. Jerusalem, sing it louder, home sweet home. Jerusalem. Oh, yes, home, sweet home. Jerusalem is my home. Amen. Give the Lord a round of applause. Amen. But just sing that song, Burdens Down, Lord, Burdens Down. Since I laid my burdens down. Amen. If you went to the Lord in prayer, laid your burdens down, there's nothing can stand in your way, saints. Amen. Amen. Well, burdens down, Lord, oh, burdens down, Lord, since I laid my burdens down, oh, burdens down, Lord, oh, burdens down, Lord, since I laid my burdens down. My friends don't treat me, oh, like they used to. Oh, since I laid my burdens down. Well, friends don't treat me, oh, like they used to. Since I laid my burdens down. I feel better. Well, so much better. Oh, since I laid my burdens down. Oh, yes, I feel better, oh, so much better, since I laid my burdens down. I'm going home to, oh, be with Jesus, oh, since I laid all my burdens down. Yes, Lord, I'm going home to, oh, be with Jesus, since I laid my burdens down. Yes, Lord, well, I've been dancing and I've been shouting, oh, since I laid all my burdens down. Well, I've been dancing and I've been shouting, laid my burdens down. Well, I've been singing and I'll be praising, oh, since I laid my burdens down. Yes, Lord, I've been singing and I've been praising since I laid my sing glory, glory. Well, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, since I laid my burdens down, glory, glory. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my burdens down, burdens down, Lord, burdens down. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Oh, since I laid my burdens down. Oh, burdens down, Lord. Oh, burdens down, Lord. Since I laid my burdens down. And let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight. Yes, Lord. Fair land above, giving cheer. Oh, to the sad and the lone, fill my way every day. Oh, hallelujah, fill my way every day. Your heavenly love, as I walk with that heavenly dove, just let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day. Keep me close to the side of my Savior and God. Let me never in darkness roam. Keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Fill my way. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus, Jesus, fill my way with love, your love. As I walk, just let me go all the while. Oh, and a smile, fill my way every day with love. Think about it, saints. Soon this race will be o'er, and we'll dwell no more, but abide in my home above. Just let me sing, blessed King, all the way to the shore. Fill my way. Oh, hallelujah, fill my way with love. Well, as I walk with your heavenly dove, just let me go. Oh, with a song and a smile, fill my way every day with love. Soon the race, soon this race. Oh, and I'll travel no more, but abide above. Just let me sing, blessed King, all the way to the shore. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, feel my way every day with love. Oh, as I walk with that heavenly dove, just let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Feel my way every day with love. Hallelujah, feel my way every day. Your love. As I walk with that heavenly dove, let me go with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Just let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way. Leading straight to that land.
Everywhere. To the sad and the Lord, fill my way every day with love. Hallelujah, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, oh, keep all the while with a song and a smile. Lord, fill my way every day. Song and a smile. Lord, feel my way every day.
Amen. Let's just give God a round of applause. Amen. For being a great God. Amen. Maybe seated just for a moment here. Praise the Lord. Got a few out this morning. God bless them. Give them strength. We got Brother Steve out, so our guitar is gone. Brother Frey didn't show up, so that guitar is gone. Our last guitar player, he's a deacon, so. So praise God, amen. But anyway, this morning we just want to give God all the glory and honor that he deserves, amen. He is a great God, amen. He's a great God we serve. We got Brother Ben preaching this morning for us, no stranger here, and we just want to pull on God and just want God to give us all that we have need of, amen. How many brought your expectation this morning? Praise God, amen. Brother, do we happen to have that song, Eliezer Call, on... I'm going to need the words because I don't have it with me. And every time I try to go off my head, I get it wrong. So by the grace of God, we'll just try to sing that song and serve a great God.
Amen.
Amen. We got two today. We'll give them what we got. Amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord everything we got and just try to receive from God, because we know that in the day that we live in, we want a God who can speak to us. Amen.
Amen.
He's a living God, not back in the prophet's day. He's a living God right now as well. Amen.
Amen.
He was there, and he's one here too, right?
Amen.
Praise God. We're just going to sing this song. 'Twas a day in early springtime by an ancient wayside well. Eliezer paused to rest his camel train. He had found a bride for rising ere the evening shadows fell, for his weary journey had not been in vain. So he took the fair Rebecca, decked in jewels rich and rare, quickly to her waiting bridegroom far away, where Rebecca loved her eyes in, and he loved Rebecca fair. Oh, it must have been a happy wedding day. Oh, oh, get ready, the evening shadows fall. Don't you hear the voice of Eliezer calling? There's going to be a wedding, and our joy is soon begin. In the evening when the camel train comes in. I like this. And now the blessing, Holy Spirit, from our Father God above, has come down to earth to find a bride. For our Isaac over yonder has prepared his tents of love, and he wants his fair Rebecca by his side. We have left our kinfolk gladly. We have bade the world goodbye. We've been called to be his pure and spotless bride, where we'll soon behold our Jesus, hallelujah, in that blessed eternity. Oh, what a happy, happy wedding that will be. Don't you hear the voice of Eliezer calling? There's going to be a wedding, and our joy will soon begin. In the evening when the camel train comes in. Oh, all things ready, the evening shadows fall. Don't you hear of Eliezer calling? There's going to be a wedding, and our joy will soon begin. In the evening when the camel train comes in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Glad for that Eliezer call. Amen. I've heard that voice. Amen. Praise God. Oh, thank God. See, we're not looking at a glass half darkly. We see the Word. Amen. We see who Jesus is. Amen. By the grace of God, we're holding out for Jesus to come. Amen.
Amen.
Reveal yourself more and more daily, weekly, God, as the time draws near. Amen.
Amen.
But we just we want to give Brother Ben his ample time. We want to enjoy our fellowship today. And by the grace of God, we just find it such a privilege to be here. Amen.
Amen.
So pray for your brothers and sisters didn't make it. Amen. And by the grace of God, we've been ordained to be here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, God, there must be some maturity you want to bring on me, God. I accept that, right?
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. So we're just going to invite Brother Ben out. And I'm trying to think of a good song we can sing to do so. Amen. I don't know if he's going to sing a song or what he's going to go into. He doesn't have his wife today, so by the grace of God, we know he don't need just that, though. He's got the gift. So, anyway, we just want to... let's sing that song, If That Same Spirit Dwell in You. Amen.
If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, dwell in you. Oh, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it dwell in you. Spirit dwell in you. Oh, it will quicken your mortal body. If that Spirit dwell in you, oh, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the
hallelujah
in you, hallelujah, dwell in you. Oh, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you. It dwells in you. Oh, it will quicken your mortal body. Hallelujah. If that Spirit it dwells in you. Oh, it will quicken your mortal body. Oh, if that Spirit dwells in you.
Once more.
Oh, if that same dwell in you, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, oh, it will quicken your mortal body. If that Spirit dwell in you, it will quicken your mortal body. If that Spirit dwell in you,
amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And aren't you glad you got it?
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. I want to say while you're turning, it's a wonderful privilege to be back here with you again. Certainly thank Brother Cam and church body for having us again. Always appreciate the opportunity when Brother Smith always invites us to come with such an open heart and such a cheery spirit. I just told him a few minutes ago, I said, I just love our fellowship. I just get swallowed up in it and just forget myself, and I sure enjoy it. And I love you people and love what the Lord's done for you out here, and just thank God for the opportunity to be numbered with you this morning.
Amen.
I'm not much of a singer. He definitely has got the voice. Without my little stick of dynamite, I don't do much of that too well on my own. But amen. So we'll just go right to the Word this morning. But certainly thank the Lord for His grace this morning. I want to speak to you today on remaining sober. Now, we tried our best to get you drunk on the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to try to sober you up. Amen. 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 Remaining sober. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. How many knows Jesus still wants us to do that?
Amen.
Amen. Right. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. What a strange remark. Remain sober. Remain sober. Okay? So if you was in a jungle, sitting down by a tree, and a roaring lion was walking around you, how sober would you be? Praise the Lord. You would have a little bit more excitement than what some of y'all do in church this morning. Huh? You think you're happy now? You think you're shouting and hollering out? Look a lion, eyeball to eyeball, and see what kind of emotions stir out of you. I don't know, some of these message folks, I don't think that could even get them stirred up. Anyhow. But how could you remain sober with a lion going, if you're taught not to be afraid of it, and if you're taught how to whip it, you won't be scared. Amen. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, how we thank you this morning for your love and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to stand in divine presence. As we open the pages of the Bible today, we are asking for the help of Almighty God, that you will take your word and that you will speak to us those things which are edifying, those things which are beneficial. And as we approach what your prophet called the sincere side of the service, we pray that the Spirit of God would so visit us today that any need that we would have in our hearts or our bodies or our minds, Lord, that you would so custom fit this message to meet those needs that we will leave this place, as it was prayed a few moments ago, with our heart burning within us. We pray the Holy Spirit will just come now and take his word, speak to us directly, anoint us to receive, and anoint us to be benefited by the things that we'll hear today. As we submit ourselves to you, we ask you to forgive us of any wrong or transgression that we might have done to displease you. Circumcise our hearts and our lips and our lives that we might be used vessels to be pleasing to you, O God. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. I'd like to say I'm glad to have my daddy with me today. One of the brothers said today, he said, "Who is that older brother back there?" And I said, "That's my dad." He said, "The legend is here." I said, "That's exactly right." Appreciate my dad. The Lord's really done a lot for him. I've told some of you saints to be praying. You know, through the last couple of years, he's had a real bout with sugar diabetes and in and out different places in the hospital, different things. And I read a list. He came back from the doctor a couple days ago, a list about that long of all the problems he had. And I just looked at the list and then looked at him and then looked at the list and looked at him and looked at the list. And I thought, you don't look nothing like that list. You know what I'm saying? It's just the hand of Almighty God. So we thank the Lord for that. Thank God for Dad's health. And this scripture we've read this morning, I think it's obvious to us that there's many directions that you could use in preaching on Satan being a roaring lion and as a roaring lion and these different subjects that are brought out of this. No doubt every preacher in the world of Christendom down through the church ages has probably used this scripture over and over again in manifold ways. What I love about the Word is that the Word can be preached this way today and then you can preach it again, that same scripture, and then again and again and again and again. Each one of them different, but all the same. Because God's Word has eternal value. As we know, Brother Bam tells us that the Word is made by a divine architect. As he tells us in Future Home, the prophet of God would come and bring the Word as God would speak it to him directly to the people of that age. Not what the people themselves are hearing, but what God is telling the man, and then he tells the people that age. As he sang the song with Eliezer, he's replaying the message down to Rebecca. So we realize that this message that we have today, it was directly given to us by God. And anything that condescends from God must be eternal. And anything of eternal value has many different manners and meanings and ways, but all the same thought or all the same word behind it. Now, when we look at these different scriptures in this on Peter, what Peter approaches here with the subject of this roaring lion, we recognize that he's trying to get a concept over to some people that are going to be facing many lions in their lifetime. Now, we recognize Paul in the book of Romans as he recognizes one of the biggest lions that he's ever going to face is his own self. Then the people are going to deal with persecution and martyrdom and all of these different things. They're going to be kicked out of this church and that church, and they're going to go from place to place, and they're going to have many lions that they're going to have to face. So the last thing that God wants these people to do then is to get all excited and worked up and overwhelmed and, oh, I just don't know, am I saved or am I not saved, or am I in Christ, out of Christ, am I predestinated, not predestinated, what am I anyways? Am I Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Roman, Centurion, or what am I anyways? So Paul and Peter and these men of God are trying to sober the people that they might not be afraid of the lions that they're going to face down in this time. Now, we recognize one thing that I want to preach to you on this morning is the importance of coming to church and preachers and teachers and all that. Because what we recognize is that God has sent a way into the body of Christ for us to remain sober. And that way is the preaching of the gospel. Brother Bam tells us this way in adoption. He talks about the sheep and the pastor and so forth. Of course, I'm not a pastor, but Brother Cam can identify that many times in the sheep way of dealing with sheep, there are high-maintenance sheep and there are low-maintenance sheep. Ain't that right? There are some people that you just preach to them on Sunday and they do the rest. They pray and they study and they fast and they work and they labor and they do all that. And then there are some people that are high-maintenance and you pull and you pull and you pull and you fix and you repair. And then after you fix it, they break it. And then you got to fix it again. And then they got to repair it again. And then back up, back down. High-maintenance sheep. But we recognize, when pastors can tell you this, brothers I preach for will tell you, one of the best ways to settle sheep is to feed them. Feed them the word. Even natural farmers will tell you that if you can take sheep and set them out on a full stomach, then they will lay down in green pastures. As David tells us in the psalm, he will lay me down in green pastures and feed my soul and so forth. That this is a type, a natural type, speaking of the spiritual, of how sheep are treated. So if you want a sheep to be restless and you want it to be, you know, jumping this way and that way, don't feed it. Praise the Lord. You want it to be full of trouble and everything else. Y'all done forgot how to say amen. Sure as a world. Now, you realize that that's the reason why so many people around the church world as we know it, around this message and different church world organizations, that's the reason they don't have any stability or sobriety, is because they have not been fed the word of truth. Now, we know that the word of truth itself will bring to us a reality. I'm sure you can say amen to that. And that reality is the settling power of Jesus Christ. You remember what Paul said in the book of Corinthians, that God desired to strengthen and establish and settle us, that we could have a firm foundation to place our faith upon. Again, he tells us that faith must have a solid resting place to set itself on. Faith can't jump here and there and there and there and there. That's hope, not faith. Hope floats, but faith has a firm foundation that it rests on by the word of God. Come on, say amen. Now, when you look at this again, he says, be sober and be vigilant. Now, the word that he uses here for sober is the word nepho, which is to be calm or collected in spirit, or to be temperate or circumspect. Now, that means careful. So when you look at what he's asking you to do, he's asking you to look in the face of a roaring lion, to look at an adversary who is the devil, who's much smarter than you and I will ever be, knows much more about the message than you and I will ever know. Amen. Can quote the Bible with his eyes closed, upside down, backwards, forwards, every which way. He's got more understanding of Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic than you and I will ever understand. And as far as being wise, he's wiser than Daniel himself, one of the wisest men that we know about. But yet we realize there's something about the devil, that the illumination of who he is to us as the people of God, it makes him that much smaller. And you remember in the book of Ezekiel and in Isaiah, when he talks about how wise and smart Satan is, those prophets always brought him to his end. And Isaiah puts it this way, that he said at the end time, the people will look narrowly upon the devil and say, is this the man that caused the naked? Listen, I'm not waiting for the millennium for that to happen. I'm not waiting for the rapture for that to take place. But I believe the bride's getting a vision change right now. I believe she's seen the devil in a much different way than she's ever looked at him before. That's the reason in the end time when diseases like cancer and tubercular and things that they don't even have cures for come along, the people of God say, well, whatever. Whatever. You know why? We're getting a revelation that whether we go or whether we stay, the power of God that lives in our soul has already made us overcomers. Whether I get cancer, whether I get tubercular, come on now. No matter what may take place, I am a winner no matter what. The bride is right now looking more narrowly upon the devil than she's ever looked at him before. Her eyes are narrowing more on that devil than she's ever narrowed on him before. She sees him for what he truly is, a bluff. You would hit so many numbers on the phone, the little guy, the number you have dialed is not in service. You think, oh Lord, I'm in trouble now. What was the number again? 119. No, 191. You'd be in such a mess you wouldn't know what to do. Except for one thing. Maybe the husband of that house would say, now dear, settle down just a little bit. You see that blinking red light right there in the corner? We have got a state-of-the-art security system in this home. And if they move one blade of grass within a certain parameter, this house will have stormtroopers on top of it in a few moments' time. This house will have paratroopers and everybody else. There'll be the SWAT team. There'll be the NIC units. There'll be all kinds of all these. Everybody in the world will be sitting on our front line. You know what I imagine they do? No matter how much they hooted and hollered on the outside, somebody be pulling them up a chair, sticking their feet up and say, give me a glass of sweet tea, will you? I'm a little thirsty right now. You know why? They've got a knowledge or an understanding that there's nothing out there that can harm them in there. Come on, somebody. Now you recognize that's what Peter is telling us. Be sober. Be sober in the face of a roaring lion. Be sober in the face of the devil. So there must be an answer into how we can be sober even though the devil is roaring out there. I guarantee you one of your first lessons you need to learn about the devil is look real closely at his mouth. He ain't got no teeth. All he can do is roar. All he can do is growl. But he ain't got nothing to bite you with. Amen. He had him knocked out of Calvary. Now notice this. I just love when I go to looking at these things. I want you to notice the way that lions operate. Nature, lions themselves. We know, of course, that a lion, they're found just mainly over on the eastern side. They can run 30 miles an hour and their roar can span at least 5 miles. We know that the male lion is not the hunter. He's actually the lazy one. Kind of sounds like Message Brothers in this message. Anyhow. And he sleeps about 21 hours a day. Now, if you will notice, as he sleeps 21 hours a day, there is only a small window, 3 hours, in which that he will hunt. Now we know the females are the ones that actually do the hunting, and we know that their technique is that they will go out by force, and they will take two and they will set them in an ambush, and two will flank on this side. So they come up to a herd or a pack, and they'll see a, you know, whatever, gazelles, or it might be some kind of a certain animal that they're after, and the two will rush in and stir everything up, and they'll be jumping and moving, and they'll be running. Oh, there's danger, there's danger. Now what they don't realize is that as them two female lions are pushing in, there are two waiting down the road to ambush those lions. So the excitement is not the big part, it's the trouble that's laying down the road. And the reason those female lions are creating that excitement is because they know in just a little while that all those evil things are laying up the road, and that death is certainly at the end of the corner. Now we know that a male lion sleeping 21 hours a day, that leaves 3 hours a day in which that he is hunting. Now, when Peter uses this terminology, we recognize that maybe he had an understanding or a knowledge of these certain things, or else he wouldn't have talked about it. And so he realizes that there's only a small window of time that the devil is actually on the prowl. The rest of it would be during the time in which you are asleep, and then the lion is awake, and that's when it begins to hunt. I hope you understand the type there. Now, think of this, children. Think of the way that God sets this up. So whenever you are asleep, that's when this male lion will begin to get up and roar. Now remember what Paul tells us in the book of Thessalonians. He tells us not to sleep, 1 Thessalonians 5, 6, and 8. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober, because our adversary, the devil, is awake while they are sleeping. Don't you recognize why so many people around the ranks of this message are falling to this and falling to that and falling to this and that and the other? That's because they have fallen asleep. Come on, somebody. They have fallen asleep. And instead of staying with that word and staying awake and settling down and finding out where they stand at, they're running after everything else in the world. You remember I told you here last year, then the first sermons I preached after the Believe the Sign mess came out, I preached it right here in this church. Look at what it's done across the nation. Don't you know what happened? People fell asleep. People fell asleep. The devil raised up in a midnight hour when everybody was beginning to lull away. Everything looked like it was going well in the message. Wasn't a big bunch of fussing. Wasn't a big bunch of fighting. And they started letting down their guard. The next thing you know, the devil showed up in the message. Every time you watch it in your own walk with God, every time you fall asleep on Christ, you'll watch that'll be the very moment Satan will start waking up. Devils will lay in absolute dormancy. They'll lay there dormant. They'll lay back there quiet. They won't do a thing. They'll sit back and they'll watch and they'll watch and they'll watch, and they'll sleep as it was until they catch you at an hour of vulnerability. Let me tell you, it's not when the church is on the mountaintop that the devil strikes them, but he waits till sickness comes and diversity comes and this trouble, that trouble. That's when Satan begins to wake up and cause his greatest problems. So the four females, the red, the black, the white, and the pale horse.
Come on.
Two will chase them in, and two will wait to ambush them. Remember, fours is how God works also. God works in earthly deliverance in fours. In Restoration of the Bride Tree, he said there were four life messengers and there were four death messengers. So Peter says, ask these lions as a lion roars. The only thing that he's doing that for is intimidation. But if you have, or say, an experience or been trained on how to deal with lions, when you hear him roar, you just say, settle down, big kitty. Now, shh. Let's not get all excited now. I wonder, when you walk up here to the zoo, as many of you probably been in the zoo and you've seen them big lions out there, their manes and all that sort of thing, and you see them way back up yonder, and as you're looking way back up yonder, you are thankful they are way back up yonder. But Peter says, be sober, be calm, be temperate.
Amen.
Don't get excited.
Well,
what in the world? Has this man lost his mind? Has he studied the word so much that his brain cells have been burned out? He knows the secret.
Amen.
He knows if you're trained to deal with lions, you don't get scared of them.
Come on, brother. Yeah.
That's the reason we need preachers.
Come on, brother.
Lord, y'all shouldn't get quiet on me. Come on now. Now, thank for they that sleep, Paul says they sleep in the night, and they that are drunken be drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day.
Amen.
He said, I say to you, little bride, shalom, good morning.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, notice it is when everybody is sleeping, that's when the lion begins to wake up. So the female's technique is divide and conquer.
Amen. Come on, brother. Amen.
I heard Brother Bam say it just the other day. That's the very essence of Nicolaitism.
Right.
Divide and conquer the laity.
That's right, brother.
Well, praise the Lord. Y'all about lost your shout this morning, but I'm still coming on. And don't you see that's exactly what's taking place around the ranks of this message, friend? The devil dividing over this, dividing over that. What's he doing? He's conquering the people. He's conquering them and keeping them from being recipients of that last day word. Don't you know why the devil is against good God called men? Because he knows that's the only way that the people can be sober.
Amen.
Let somebody out here in the world fall. And you'll hear about Tiger Woods or some of these guys for about a month or so. And then it becomes old news. Let a preacher in this message fall.
Right.
You'll hear about him for 30 years. And every time his name is mentioned, they'll bring that certain something back up where he made a mistake.
Right,
let somebody in the world commit adultery and it's the one, oh, well, that's a big deal. That's the way people are. Well, if I live with that woman, I'd probably do the same. If I live with him, I'd do the same thing. Let somebody in the church do it.
Right.
Don't you know what that is?
Yeah.
Divide and conquer.
Amen.
That's the devil's tactic to put so much focus on them things. I admit we're supposed to live holy. I admit we're supposed to live godly. But friends, we are human beings just like the rest of them are. We make mistakes like everybody else. That's why we should hold our standard that much higher than everybody else. Be sober, be vigilant for putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Woo. Sound like a man getting dressed up to do some fighting, don't it?
Amen.
Not picnicking now, fighting.
Amen.
He ain't got a basket full of mustard and all that sort of thing. He's ready to fight.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
He's ready to fight. He's ready to take that word at the adversary.
Amen.
Amen. Notice again in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now, let's notice here, how are you and I going to watch if we don't know what to watch for?
Right.
Well, I don't know about you, but if I don't know what I'm looking for, it's going to be hard to look for it.
Come on, brother.
Yeah.
Right.
I've been in many, many, many different meetings down through the years where somebody would write me on the email or call me on the telephone and say, now, Brother Ben, I was just in a place up here in Ontario, Canada, by Niagara Falls preaching, and the brother, I'd communicated with him through the email, but I didn't recognize him as far as his face or whatever like that. And I got to the meeting, and this one brother brought me into the service and took me back to the room and, you know, brought me water and talked to me and shook my hand and prayed with me and all that. And I thought, that's the loveliest, godliest little pastor I've ever met in my life. I sat there for a few minutes, tried to get ready to open my book, looked at my message. And a few minutes, here come another guy walking in. I thought, now what's that guy doing? Don't he have any good sense? I'm back here trying to study. And if he's not the pastor, he ain't got no business barging in while I'm trying to pray. It was the pastor.
Come on, brother.
I hadn't seen him. So I didn't know what to expect. I'd never laid my eyes on him in my lifetime. Tried to look at a picture. This other guy looked the same as the other one. I couldn't recognize him. He was the pastor.
Right. Good, brother.
So if you don't know what you're looking for, you don't know what you're going to find when you get it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
So you must have somebody then, oh, glory to God, to tell you what you're looking for. Well, I know I can feel it rubbing against the grain. Well, I'm glad you brought your grain to get rubbed on.
Come on, brother.
Amen. Amen. Brother Ben said we didn't come to church to find our good places. He said we come to find our bad ones.
Yeah.
And we all got a lot of bad ones that we need help with.
Come on,
Amen. Praise the Lord. Now notice this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Can y'all handle these next words?
Good, brother.
Preach
the Word.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy. It's so simple, but yet it's so profound. Do you realize what a miracle that Paul is asking of here? That you would take a man that's got so many things all built up in his mind this way and that away, and got this confusion and that teaching, and he brings this over from that. You talk about a mess. You think you people are in a mess. You ain't seen a mess in all your life until you get into a preacher's world. Oh, you say, I got problems. Uh-huh. And so does every man that ever preaches to you. Amen. Amen. He's got issues just like you do. Well, hallelujah. The difference is, he's not allowed to make a mistake, is he? Lord, y'all going to be quiet on me all morning long, ain't you? Now, come on, I'm going to preach to you whether you amen or blink or oh me or ouch or run or whatever you do. Now, it's the truth, friends. Now, think. This is the very reason why many times people don't want to hear preachers. Because they think, he's a human being. I already knew that. I am well aware of my humanity. I'm more aware of it now than I've ever been in my lifetime. But with that comes an understanding, Brother Freddie, a revelation. I also recognize that because I am a human and God made me a leader, that I have to be that much closer to the Lord. Got to pray more.
Amen.
All right, stay in the Word more.
Amen.
Now you ask me, Brother Ben, tell me about some of your travels. And I sit down and tell you, okay, I went to this church and this guy believes this. Went to that church, he believes that. That one 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 believes that. And every single one of them have got quotes of Scripture to prove what they believe. Now you're supposed to preach to the people. Which opinion do you stay away from? Do you realize what a miracle that Paul is asking of Timothy? Preach the Word.
Amen.
Do you think these people didn't have opinions in their day? Look at the book of Corinthians. Look at the book of Thessalonians. Look at how different Alexander the coppersmith and this one and that one and all of these different ones, Hymenaeus and Philetus, they all had opinions. Paul said, don't you lean to an opinion. Preach the Word. Amen. Stay with that Word. Do you realize what a miracle that he's asking of? You say, we're just a little bitty old church, ain't no problem. Yes, I realize that. But you got an opinion, you got an opinion, you got an opinion. You got a thought, you got a thought. You got a thought, you got a thought, 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 thought. Here a thought, there a thought. Everybody has a thought, thought.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Now, if you're one man and you got all them opinions whirling around in your head, do you realize what a miracle it takes for your pastor to step behind that desk every Sunday? And not think about what you told him 2 weeks ago, and not think about the story you told him 45 years ago, and not think about all that, and keep his mind right on that Word.
Amen.
You talk about a miracle? You see it every time you come to church on Sunday and Wednesday.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
He won't tell it, but I'll tell it. Sometimes it's the hardest thing in the world to keep your mind on what you're trying to preach, because you get so plumb aggravated at people. You think that, Freddie, I don't understand that boy. I'd like to wring his neck. And you come to church and you are mad. You are hopping mad. You are so mad. Your nostrils are flaring. And you are just... And you walk in the back door. I'm going to tell them. Bless God, I'm going to tell them. And you get out to the pulpit and you say, I just want to let y'all know something. I love you so much.
Amen.
Do you realize what a miracle is taking place before your eyes? That a man can take everything he is and by gift of God, divine gift, push that aside, that he can let God use him to preach to your need.
Amen.
It just so happens, I'm convinced, we don't appreciate it enough.
Come on now. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. As I told somebody the other day, no matter where you're at or how it goes, I was in church Sunday morning. I was standing in the office. Brother Carey looked at me and said, how about preaching tonight? Instant in season and out of season. You got to be ready at all times. You don't know when the Lord will make a Macedonian call and you'll be over on that side. Now, notice the word, preach the word here, is the element of what Paul is instructing Timothy to do to get the people sober, to get them foundation. Now, watch this next two words here. Reprove and rebuke. Exhort with all long-suffering and I don't believe in doctrine. Just get everybody saved and love Jesus. Well, Paul believed in doctrine. Why can't you? Praise the Lord. Everybody wants that Holy Ghost. Get me saved. Praise God. But they don't want Jesus to be Lord of their doctrine. They want Him to come and save their soul, but they don't want to be Lord of their doctrine. Woo, glory. They don't want to be Lord of what they believe and Lord of what they believe and Lord of what they have a foundation on. He wants Him to be Lord of your makeup and your hair and your dress, but some people don't want Him to be Lord of your doctrine. Hallelujah! I don't want Him to be just Lord of my dress and Lord of my attitude. I want Him to be Lord of what I believe. Amen! Now notice reprove, which means to convict, to refute, and by conviction to bring to light. To expose. Yes, Lord. Are y'all sure you still want to come to church?
Amen.
Some of y'all said amen. Amen. Now notice to reprehend severely. To chide. To admonish.
Come on now. Amen.
So Paul said when he comes to church, don't you get up here and pat him all on the head. Look him in the eyes. Tell him, you get right with God. Amen. Now, you know the lady will see an attitude, well, you get right to yourself. What do you think he's preaching it for? He got right himself. That's why he's preaching it to you, because he had to get right himself. Oh, that's why a man preaches it sometimes. Not because he's trying to get you right, but because he's getting himself right while he's getting you right. Long suffering. Oh, God, if we don't need a bucket load of this. Forbearance, long suffering, slowness in avenging wrongs. So when Brother Cam comes to the pulpit and said, I'm going to wring his neck. I've had enough of it. Now don't y'all look at me like a bunch of angels. If you was up here handling that word, you'd feel the same way about some of y'all. Come on, don't look at me that way. Some people say, well, bless God, that man, I'd not feel that way about his people. Why not? Why not? He wants to see him right with God. He wants to see him make the rapture. He wants to see him live higher than they've ever lived. And he sees him come to church doing the same old trash they've been doing day in and day out. How would you feel about it if you loved them? Come on, somebody. If you loved them right, how would you feel about it? You'd feel like wringing their neck. As a matter of fact, Brother Bam said, God gets so mad at us, sometimes it feels like kicking us.
Amen.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Amen.
So when you come to church, sometimes it ain't always being patted on the head. Sometimes you get rebuked.
Amen.
Sometimes you get exposed. Do you want to know the real test of whether you got it or not? I mean the Holy Ghost. Come to church and let some man tear your hide off your bones and see if you feel like coming back. Because if you feel like coming back after he's done that, chances are you got a good conversion. Right? Because the majority of this lady you're seeing modern Jezebel thing is he ain't going to preach on me. For the time will come, let's move on, verse 3, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. How are you going to know what to look for and watch for if somebody don't tell you? Glory to God. I feel like shouting. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
But watch thou in all things. That means if you can watch, that means you've got a vision.
Amen.
You've got eyes to see. For blessed are your eyes, for they see. And blessed are your ears, for they shall hear.
Amen.
Endure afflictions. He didn't say there wouldn't come trouble in the church. Hey, and I'm going to tell you something right now. Any husband, any father that's worth his weight in salt, he gets aggravated at the people he loves. Come on now. Any wife that's worth her weight in salt gets aggravated. There's nothing that bothers me more than to sit out in a public place somewhere or another and see the kids cutting up this way and that direction and mom and dad sitting there looking off in the corners like that. You know what? That person really don't care about them kids. As if they really cared about them children, it would make them mine. It would bother them when they see bad behavior. It would irritate them when they tell them over and over and over. Do you know why they feel that way? Because they love them. That's why. That's why sometimes you get so aggravated, you think, I might as well quit. It's not that they don't love you. It's that they do love you. That's why they feel that way. Brother Bam tells us plainly, 1958. He said, if your wife come to you and said, well, I went out with some other man, and you looked at her and said, well, bless your heart, honey. I hope you have a good time. He said, she ought to kick you out the door. If you love, you care. You're concerned.
Come on, brother.
When I used to work in the factory, back before the Lord sent me full time, you see those men and those women, they'd be talking, you know. Well, how's everything going at home? Everything doing all right? I don't know. That old woman of mine, you know how she is. I used to hear them get so grieved at them boys. I don't care what she's doing. I think she's going out this weekend. And I think they don't even love one another enough to talk to one another and communicate about what's going on in that home. Let him do his thing. Let her do hers. You know what the problem is? They've lost their love one for another. But a real godly man of God, it bothers him when people don't say amen. It bothers him when people don't worship God. It bothers him when he sees the church not coming up higher. Come on, help me preach. It bothers him when he sees these things happening because he wants to see the people higher. If he loves them at all, it's going to do something on the inside of him. Now notice in the message, Blind Bartimaeus. And God set first in the church. He says, missionaries or apostle. Apostle and missionary, I told you, taught you the same thing, one sin. Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. God set in the church for the perfecting of the church. That's divine gifts that God foreordained and set in the church. Those are for the perfecting of the church. Jesus speaks through his pastor. Well, praise the Lord. And notice he didn't say his tape recorder. That belongs to Sony and Panasonic and the internet and all those other guys. But this man is Jesus' man. He's not yours. He's his. Praise the Lord. Jesus speaks through his, capital H-I-S, his pastor. He speaks through his teacher. He speaks through his seer. He speaks through his missionary. So who are these men? God's men. Glory! That's his gifts that he has put in the church. Somebody please tell me why we wouldn't want this. Why wouldn't we want somebody to instruct us when the devil is roaming around us like this? And here's a man called to tell you how to deal with that lion. He's gifted. He's got insight to tell you how to deal with him. And you set back up against the tree saying, I don't need your help. I will do it on my own. You know what that person becomes? Lion food. Dinner. Or supper, depending on what part of the South you're in. Bless God, I don't need your help. Just go ahead and sit down. Put some seasoning salt on you. Rub some garlic on there, some butter, some oregano, some cinnamon, some spice. Come on now. Because it won't be too very much long. That lion will eat you alive. But what if you had a man that could stand and tell you, now when you go to that jungle out there, you're going to face wild lions. Now they can't focus on one more than one thing at a time. So I'm going to give you a stick. And on that stick, it's going to have four corners to it, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you're going to hold that stick out there, like he does with the chair. And that lion's going to go from point to point to point to point. And he's not going to be able to get a hold of you because there's going to be some guards there. Hallelujah. Oh, glory! There's going to be some guards there that's going to keep him out. Oh, bless the Lord! Hallelujah! Now you hold that word, I mean that stick. You hold that stick there and that lion won't be able to get you.
Amen.
Now what if that person says, you are the biggest idiot I've ever laid my eyes on? You're a fool. You ain't got no sense. You know what? That person is asking for death to swallow them up. Jesus Christ, the same Red Man, said, notice Jesus did those things in that day, raised the dead. He's the same yesterday and forever. He's obligated to his word. His corporal body sits at the right hand of God. You believe that, don't you? But the Holy Spirit is here working through his sanctified vessels. And God has set in the church what? First apostles, then prophets and teachers, then evangelists, then pastors. Is that right? For the perfecting of the church. God has did that. It's not the preacher that preaches. So Paul says, preach the word. So he's not saying that you do the preaching, but he's saying make yourself a ready vessel so Jesus can preach through you. Right? It's not the preacher that preaches, it's God preaching through him. So then what if you come to church and twiddle your thumbs and say, I don't care what he says. It doesn't matter to me what he says. Do you know what you're doing? You are telling God that you don't care about what he thinks. Yeah. Amen. Now notice, it's not the prophet that sees visions, it's God seeing it through him. I do nothing, Jesus said, except first what the Father shows me to do. So what kind of preacher should he be? Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Now, I know we've read this here before, but I'd like to look at it again. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Like I said, the Word of God has many different routes and meanings and avenues that you can take, but it's all the same Word. It's all the same Word. Now, notice again here in Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul, not some of them, not part of them, not to ones that feel like it's important and ones that don't feel like it's important. Not ones a part of a certain family or a part of a not certain family. Every means every. And last I checked, every means you all and me too. So every soul is to be subject unto the higher powers. Woo. Now, it's been a little sticky in here today, and I imagine it'll probably get a little more sticky about right now. But that's all right. I brought my stick-proof repellent, so I'm not going to be stuck by you stickers. Now, look at this in the way that Paul says this. For every soul, there is no power but of God. The powers that be ordained of God. Now, the word he uses here for subject is a Greek military word, haptuso. It means to arrange the troops in a military fashion under the command of a leader. So that Greek man would stand back at Rome and would say, haptuso! And them soldiers would step in order. So he says, let every soul be haptuso unto the higher powers. The word he uses here for power is exousia, which is a sign of a husband's authority over his wife. Woo, glory! So that man of God ain't up there as a dictator. He's not a Hitler. He's not called to beat and whip and punch on that woman. That's his wife he's dealing with. And every God-ordained man full of the Holy Ghost, that's exactly how he preaches to the people. Now watch verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the exousia. I don't believe in preachers. So you're Jezebel then. You don't believe in headship then. Lord have mercy. I know this gets kind of rough and tough, but I remember, sister, we're not talking about the type of headship where he can smack you in the mouth and get away with it. We're talking about the type of headship, if he smacks you in the mouth, God smacks him in the mouth. Praise the Lord. God deals with that man if he deals with you wrong. Don't you think for a second that preachers are getting away with anything. If God has ordained these men to lead the people and they mishandle them, God will make them answer for every mishandling they do. That's exactly right. You can say amen to that now. Now watch this. Whosoever therefore resisteth that power. Well, I don't need no husband. You're saying that you are just like those women in Isaiah. When seven women will take hold of one man, let us eat your bread, let us have your apparel, let us be called by your name, but we'll do our own thing. We'll have your name, but we'll do our own thing out there. And don't you realize what that's a sign of? Adultery. So whosoever resisteth that power. As a man told me, well, Brother Bram's my pastor, and the tape recorders are what leads me and all that. And I said, is that right? Does the tape recorder pray for you when the hospital's sick? They come rolling in on its little wheels and yeet, 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 yeet. Huh? Come in there and pray for you when you're sick? How about marry you when you get married? Bury you when you die? Does the tape recorder stand up there and preach your funeral? I guess everybody in the message dies is going to be Garnet Peak then. Come on now. Don't you realize what these people are saying when they say they don't want preachers? They're saying they're Jezebels. Spiritual Jezebels. That's right. They resisteth the ordinance of God. So this isn't just some man's program. This is the ordinances of God. Right. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Let's just see who these higher powers are. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is, O Lord. He didn't say the tape pusher. He's not the tape play pusher. He's not the man that picks out the CD or the MP3. Come on now. He's not the internet controller. Who has this higher power? He is the minister of God to thee. Do you realize for you to even get saved, somebody had to preach to you? You said, nobody had to preach to me. God preached to me. Where'd them thoughts in your head come from that God used? Yeah, I got to sit down and think another day. How many people who use the Bible story? They'll use St. John 3:16, God loves them, this, that, and the other. And yet somehow, they think somehow God ain't preached to them. They think, I got this on my own. And they're still getting it on their own. That's why they're in their own little messes. Praise the Lord. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, you see, there are many emotions we'll go through when we come to the house of God. This is one of them we also go through. Be afraid. Well, bless God, I'm not coming to church afraid. If you've got a true servant of God, sometimes you will. I thought y'all said you wanted to be sober now. You look to me like you're not so sober now. About to pass out, looks like some of you. But bless God, don't you? I'm just reading to you the Bible. Can you believe the Bible? All right. For he is a minister to thee for good. For good, not to evil, Brother Dave, but to good. But if thou do which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not them lollipops in vain. He beareth not them cream-filled donuts in vain. That's the way some people are coming to church. They expect the pastor to come out and hand them lollipops. Now, bless your heart, children. You've been so good this week. Oh, God, don't worry about how many times you've lied and cheated on other people in your brain. And he doesn't mind about you getting infatuated with other people's wives. And oh, the Lord doesn't mind all this kind of stuff. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. As a matter of fact, he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God. Amen. He is a revenger. Amen. Isn't it amazing? In the day that we live in, one of the most famous movies they ever put out, is called the Avengers. What if the devil sees something? I'm serious, friends. I'm not making jokes. I'm serious to you. Wonder if the devil can see. You see, Hollywood will also catch up when the move of God does something. Watch and see Hollywood follow it. Praise the Lord. Notice we've been prophesying all these years about California going over the ocean. How many movies have they put out in the last several years that's got California, Los Angeles specifically going under? Hollywood sees something, friends. And if they've got this great super team called the Avengers, that must mean God's got some revengers down here on the earth. Amen, amen. A revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Oh my. For this cause pay ye tribute also. And some people won't even ask a minister to pray for them when they get up near them. They'll look them right in the face and treat them like they're just any old person whenever God made them leaders to the body of Christ. Amen. Listen to me, my young brothers. I've said it many a times. Listen to it again. We are going to be God's leaders if the Lord tarry. And if we don't come right back to the fundamental principles of this gospel, what are we going to be leading in the next 20 years if the Lord tarry?
Amen.
A bunch of Jezebel and a bunch of nitpickers that aren't satisfied with nothing. That's what we're going to have.
Amen.
I hate the way I preach. I hate it. Sometimes I get in the pulpit and I get done preaching. I think, I hate the way I preach. I come out intending, I think to myself, Lord, have mercy. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be sweet. I'm going to preach some little deep something that everybody's, wow, oh, that's wonderful. I no more than step out in the pulpit and read the text, and I can hear it going. Like, what in the world is going on? Where did lollipops go? I had plenty of them around here. God said, I didn't equip you with lollipops, boy. I equipped you with a sword. With the word, I equipped you as a revenger of God's wrath. You must needs be subject not only for wrath but for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Can I go a bit further?
Amen.
Thank you. Notice an influence. Brother Man says, now we're thanking just now great men, great servants who God has used. And finally it comes to a place till they feel that they know so much about the Word of God till they don't have no time off to pray no more. Now we're looking at the other side. It's always social visits, going out to dinner. I guess one of the biggest things I take a lot of heat for is how so-called antisocial I am sometimes. When I'm dealing with the Word, and I'm dealing with preaching, and I've got to find the mind of the Lord, the last thing I want to do is sit around in some big supper thing, you know what I'm talking about, and spend all night out there with the people and hearing about this and that and the other and the other and the other and the other, and then have to come and sit down in the church, and then I heard all of that other, 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 and then I got to come up and preach and try to work through all the to get to the message over to them. So sometimes I just kind of pull myself off. Now that don't mean fellowship and just casual fellowship or something hurts anything. It doesn't. But it's the difference between somebody making social calls all the time and somebody keeping their mind on the Word. Right, and sometimes they'll get mad at their pastor. I called him 500 times and he didn't even answer my call. Maybe he was praying about you. And maybe he saw you call for the 400th time. And maybe he said, this guy's about to drive me nuts and I've got to find the mind of God what to do with this high maintenance sheep. Isn't it amazing? You get mad at your pastor because he made him wait on the Lord. But we're not allowed to get mad at you because you don't wait on him. Hallelujah. Bless God, that man ought to hear from the Lord. But if we tell you to wait on God, you don't do it. Well, just be merciful to me, brother. I'm just praying. I'm trying. I'm trying to seek the Lord. And you think he's not? Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Preach, Brother Ben. I think I will. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'll say amen if they don't. Now notice, it comes to a place they think they know so much about the Word till they don't have any time off to pray. He said it's always going out to dinner and social visits, and the time they should be spending with God alone, preparing to come out in the sweetness of the Spirit before the congregation, they're out with some entertainments. You can't serve God and man at the same time. God's servants should be isolated to Him only. If you could only let the people see that, he says. They get to a place they make themselves under obligation as they meet the people. They meet the people, and there's bound to be a want for this and bound to be a want for that. And then the man of God gets his mind all tore up, and he's so tore up when he goes to the room and begins to study. And I say, if I don't, this man will feel bad about that. If I don't do this, this man will feel bad about that. Then he walks to the platform. He hardly knows where he's standing. His mind is all tore up. Now, you wouldn't say amen to me a few minutes ago. How about Brother Branham? Now, I'm just reading to you directly from influences. Now, notice, he ought to have spent that time with God. They're not social leaders. You know what we've got in the message? Here we go, Brother Cam. You know what we've got in the message? We've got a bunch of social leaders pastoring churches. We've got a bunch of social evangelists and social teachers and social pastors. Come on now. That's what we've got. They're good socializers. That's why they can build them up by the multitudes. But a socializer can't take you in the rapture. Oh, glory! A socializer ain't going to get you saved. A socializer ain't going to lead you to Jesus Christ. Socializer will only take you from one social function to another social function, to a volleyball game, to a men's lock-in, to a woman's lock-in. Praise the Lord. That's what the people want, friends. They want social leaders, but they don't want revengers. Remaining sober. Y'all still want to be sobered? I'm trying to tell you how to get there. Woo! A man of God should be dedicated wholly to the service of God. He said, it's too bad that we had that. Now, what does he do? He gets out amongst the people, and he starts going and seeing them, going and seeing them, going and seeing them, and then they get him under obligation. And then if he decides to pull away, they start thinking, I wonder what's the matter with Brother Cam? I wonder what's the matter with Brother Ben? You see, he used to be so, you know, he used to come out and shake everybody's hand, and he was gone. We love that. We love seeing him out there. But maybe the Lord was dealing with him. And when he got done preaching, maybe the Spirit of God said, separate yourself into a room. I got to talk to you. Do you see what the problem of the people are? They're not sober than their mind to understand how God's men are supposed to operate. That's why when they don't operate like social leaders, they think something is wrong. So if you have a social leader in the pulpit, and he doesn't operate like this, like Brother Bram in this Bible says, then that man is not a God-called man.
Come on, brother. Come on.
If he preaches to you 13 years and he never skinned your hide, I very much doubt he's called at all. Because you can't tell me in 13 years you ain't needed your hide skinned. Come on now. I know I have. I can say, man, I've needed it skinned plenty of times. But how is it they come to the pulpit and preach everything nice? Everything's politically correct. Now, I would never call them people dog meat because it's just not nice to say. Do you even know what dog meat means? Do you even know what dogs are? In the Bible, a dog is a prostitute. Brother Bam is calling those women prostitute bait. Prostitute meat.
Right.
And that's exactly what a stripped off Jezebel on the street corner is.
Right.
She's bait for the prostitution house.
That's right. Amen.
Come on, brother. Amen. A revenger. He says we should be friends. We should be different. You know that. I don't mean to hurt your feelings. I mean to be honest as a servant of Christ. You can't pull punches and be a public puppet and a servant of God at the same time. You've got to be honest with God and sell your birthrights to the people, but mine is not for sale, he says. Either be honest or sell them. He says, I know yours is not either. So let's preach the word, believe the word, stand on the word, live by the word, and be real Christians, he says.
Amen.
Amen. Now, note, I ain't got the slightest idea what time I start. Can I have a few more minutes? First Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, which it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed, not unto themselves, but unto us did they minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven.
Amen.
Now notice he's speaking about Jesus and his transfiguration. So Peter and them see it, and then they turn around and preach it unto the people. Look at his very next quotation. Wherefore, which means on account of, for which cause. So because they've preached to you the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, because of that, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You hear what Peter's saying? If you even want to know how to gird up the loins of your mind, if you even want to know how to be sober, obey them that are preaching to you. Isn't it amazing how many people in this world, some of you people sitting right here, you want him to preach to you when you're lost so you get saved. You want him to preach to you when you have little things in your life to get that trouble out of your life so you can go back to your peaceful little environment and everything be right. But whenever it comes to rubbing you the wrong way to try to make you better, there's something about that we just don't like it. And you know what we say? He's meddling. He's getting into my business. Well, I was into your business when I told you you were lost. I was into your business when I told you you need to get baptized.
Come on
now. I was into your business when I told you you needed a Savior. You was okay with that. But all of a sudden we start moving to the next steps, the next stages, and all of a sudden, I don't want him in my business no more. And Peter says, wherefore? Because you have been preached to, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. Now you understand, I'm not necessarily maybe even speaking about some of you here. But in general, these are spirits that you and I've got to watch for. You understand that? These are the things that if Satan could, he would tear down the thinking of our minds and put us in such a condition that when we hear a man preach, we think, he knew that about me. He knew that about me. He preached that because he knew it. So what?
Come on.
Amen. I know 2 and 2 makes 4. Every mathematician knows 2 and 2 is 4, but they still teach mathematics.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
Every one of us know that if you do certain things in a meal that it makes food so you can eat it. So what does having a prior knowledge have to do with the outcome?
Hey.
Come on. Just because a man knows it doesn't mean he should keep his lips shut. Y'all ready for this next statement?
Amen.
Spoken words, original seed. Jesus said, he that receives them that I send receives me, and now them that he sent. Them that receives me receives him that sent me. Wish we had time to linger on that. You can only serve God on earth as God's servants that sent on earth by divine inspiration interprets the word to you. So the only way you can serve God is by God's inspired men interpreting that word to you. Woo, glory! I love getting a devil painted up in a corner where he can't wiggle. Now don't you see, children, this is why many people just don't want this. You mean to tell me, depend my salvation upon what some man preaches to me? If you don't, you'll wind up in hell. That is, of course, unless you don't believe the Bible. My salvation ain't dependent on no man. Yes, it is, the man Christ Jesus. You still needed a man to get saving. Well, hallelujah. Lord, when I preached on water baptism, you children couldn't quit saying amen. Now I can't get you to say amen. You know what it is? This gets a little bit closer to home than just being baptized. You know what this is? This is bride material. This is bride preaching. This is bride rapturing material that gets us up into the image of Jesus Christ. Notice in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. Let me go a bit further and I'll close. He said, now they are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now watch carefully. In whom all the building fitly framed together. So wonder who had the knowledge to know what part belonged where. You say God did. But who did God tell that to? So a man comes out and he goes to preaching. He steps out of the platform and he's got a message on his heart from the Lord. He opens up the door. He comes walking out. He's got it on his heart. Same old Cam Smith, same old Jesse Smith, same old Ben Norton, same hair, balding. Got this clothes on, may have jeans on, may have a Goodwill suit, ain't no telling. He'll have his tie on, he'll have everything. He'll walk to the platform, he'll worship the Lord a little bit and praise God, and he'll open up his Bible. Thunderbolt, thunderbolt, thunderbolt. And you think, where in the world did that come from? Don't you understand? While he was back there behind that door, and by his back there speaking to God, and the Holy Spirit got a hold of him, the power of God, when he stepped outside that door, and he done knew what to tell the people. He doesn't know what 2x2 fits to what 4x4 and what 4x4 goes to the 6x6 and the 8x8. I don't think it should be built that way. But you see, you wasn't in the general contractor's meeting before church. Amen. 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 But he was. And he got divine orders from the divine architect.
Amen.
Glory, hallelujah. Who knows better how to build the body of Christ than the one who created the body of Christ? Let's stand together. Oh, here's another one. Then Jesus came, God sent into the church five different gifts, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, for they're the perfecting of the church. That is his proof. His ministering spirit to the church to bring the body of Christ together. Oh, I'd like to ask you this one thing. If Christ is alive, if he's alive today, not dead, but alive, and if he'll come right here and do the very same things he did when he was here on earth, he said it would be a perfect proof that he is alive. So what is the ministry? They are God's proof that Jesus is still alive. What did Jesus do while he was here on earth, Brother Dave? He preached. Amen. He was a preacher of righteousness unto the circumcision. So those that don't want preachers, they don't want Jesus. Because Jesus was a preacher.
That's right, brother. Amen. Good.
Ouch, scorch, burn, hurt.
Come on.
Amen. Glory to God.
When I was a kid in high school, we used to go, dearly beloved, about the scripture in Ephesians. He says, do we all get the perfecting of the saints through the tapes? Or should we hear where the gifts of the Spirit are operating? And different offices of the church to help perfect us. Our hearts have believed the word. No, they want to come here to the church for the perfecting. We get fellowship one with another here at the church. But the perfecting comes between us and God. The blood of Jesus Christ is what perfects us in the Holy Spirit. Well, then how does the Holy Spirit work? Through the Word. So when he's preaching the Word, he is shedding the blood of Christ out of that Word, and you take that cleansing agent of the Holy Ghost and wash your garments clean. Remember, the Bible said they washed their robes. She made herself ready. How? By the preaching of the Word of the Lord. Love it. You say, I don't believe that. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
Amen.
So how do you get your perfecting? When that word is shed out there from that platform and you start drawing in that word, drawing in that word, drawing in that word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you take that word and you start cleansing yourself. Amen. You say, Lord, I had a wrong doctrine. I believed it wrong. And I see through the preaching of your word, I've got that wrong. So you take that word and you begin to apply it to that false doctrine. And you rub that old disease stain out of your mind. Then you move on to the next stage. You'll come back Wednesday night and Sunday night and this night and that night. I know there's some of you that think the only time you get your perfecting and the only time you do your service to God is when you come to church on Sunday morning. You are cheating yourself out of many more blessings by not attending every service you've got in this church. I'm going to tell you something, friends, and I say this because I love you. And if I hadn't known you all these years like I have, and Brother Ken Benson I say, just preach what's on your heart. I hope I ain't made a mess in these times I've come. I've tried to do everything but hurt. But if I hadn't been for that, I wouldn't talk so straight in some of these meetings like this. But listen to me, friends. Do you realize how many of these bunch of little wishy-washy, sissy-tailed people are in this message? That are waiting on their pastor to bring them revival, waiting on them their pastors to wake them up, waiting on the pastors to give them a big... Listen, if you would come to church Wednesday night, come to Sunday school, come to Sunday church, come to Sunday night church, if you would attend when you're supposed to attend and be there when you're supposed to attend, and don't wait on somebody to sing you up or preach you up or play you up, but come up already. Do you have any idea what you little group in here could do? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have any more in this church but this right here, it would be you setting such an atmosphere in this place that any man of God that would grace your pulpit could walk into this church and take one look at this small group of people. And if you had it right, they could take one look at you and say, if there's any church in this message that's living it, that's that people right there.
Amen.
But you know what some of you are guilty of? I know I've preached to you too many times. You're waiting on somebody to work you up. Come on. But don't you see after this I've read to you this morning, the preacher does his job and I'm done. Well, what else do you want me to do? You want me to get in there and go live with you and work it out for you and pray for you and hold your hand, make you read your Bible and say, now come on now, Brother Dave, let's turn over here. Now come on, read a chapter. Now read it. Like I was with my little girl the other night. She's in their first grade trying to learn how to read. And I took the thing and I took the little book open. I said, all right now, honey, now read it. What do you want me to do, Simon? Go home with you and say, now come on, let's read the Bible now. This is what Jesus said. Now, you got the word wrong. Now, this is the word. Do you realize that's ridiculous, but that's what people want. You know why? Because they've been taught to follow social leaders. But men of God aren't social leaders. They preach, and then the people take it and apply it to their very own lives. Well, a brother Cam can fix me. If you're not willing to be fixed, there ain't enough Cams or Bens or Johns or anybody else to fix you. Hey, I drove old cars through the years that I mean to tell you what's the truth. They have been the aggravatingest things I've ever seen in my life. As I told you about this car I just bought, I don't mean I'm a big fancy preacher now because I drive my Cadillac, but I told you it was an old salvage car Brother Carroll fixed up, and I got it for a real, real cheap price, $8,000. Had 36,000 miles on it when I got it. Got 47,000 on it already. Had it a few months. But you understand that it's not about this car itself. Saying, now, man, I'll tell you, that right there is the problem. It just goes in there, clink, 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 it's fixed. Now, what if this car slams the hood down and backs up? Don't you fix me. I don't care if he's the greatest mechanic in the world. I don't care if he's the designer of the car himself. If the car won't hold his hood open and let him work on him, he ain't going to do him no good no how. And that's why some people are in church. Do you realize that's why some people don't say amen? Because they're closing their hood. You say, come on, somebody. How are we supposed to help you if you don't want to be helped?
Amen.
Well, I don't like his approach. Nobody asked you what you like and what you don't like.
Amen.
This is God's word, and we are to follow that word.
Amen.
And if he's wrong, you pray for him, and God will make him right. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now that we're all so happy, let's pray. Lord have mercy. Lord Jesus. Oh God, how we thank you, Lord. I realize, God, that I'm not necessarily speaking to misbehaving children, I'm sure. Many of these people here, God, I'm sure they love you with all their heart. That's the reason you preach it straight to us, because you do love us and you want us to hear it just in the right way. Thank you for it, Lord. Certainly, Lord, you know I didn't mean to bring anything tough or hard this morning. Certainly wasn't on my heart, Lord Jesus, to bring it in that manner, but whatever you saw fit for us today, that's what I want. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help me, Lord, as a servant of God, that I might adhere to the things in which I have heard this morning myself. Many of these great scriptures that lay before us, Lord, they're things that preachers don't just preach it, we've got to live it the very same. I pray you to help us. All the brothers in here that work with the people and the different offices here, Lord, of our precious brother Cam, pastor of this church, and then brother Bart and some of the brothers that work with the deacon, the trustee, and the so forth, those offices, Lord. God, we realize that those are servants. They're still sheep, of course, but they're servants to the body. They're not leaders as in gifted men. They're sheep, of course, that work alongside of the pastor and the associate ministers. But yet, Lord, their responsibility is difficult because they have to live by standard themselves. Many times they're privy to hear certain things that other people in the congregation don't hear. So I pray you to help them. I pray you to help those brothers, Lord, that work in the finances and work in the ways of the funding of the church and the operations. And Lord, how the building looks so beautiful this morning, God, and how you've blessed the people here. I pray you'll continue to do that. Because, Lord, as I remember at our first meeting here, God, how you spoke through a prophetic voice, a prophetic utterance. You told us that you'd raise up out of this little assembly here, you'd raise up out of here some great mighty men of God. Lord, I certainly believe that's true. I believe what you've said. We may not know who they are or where they might be or how it might come. But Lord, if you don't shake but anyone but just little old brother that stood out there that day, Lord, Brother Jose, I want to see Chicago shook. Chicago shook. Brother Bam said his broken little old English and said the Lord dealt with him and let him know because Matson Bose got himself right with God. Chicago was shook. May not be one, may not be 30, may not be 45, may not be 10. But Lord, whoever it might be, God, may you put your hand on them, Lord, and use them. Lord, please, I pray, in light of these things that we have seen around the message in this last year, God, we see a great falling away. Even in our own churches, Lord, we see falling away. This one and that one falling away. Used to love you, used to preach, used to deacon, used to trustee, used to sing and all that. Now they don't even want to serve you no more, Lord. Some of them cutting their hair, wearing pants, going back to the world, going into denominations, believing Trinitarianism doctrine and so forth. God help them. Lord, I pray that you'd help them and may you convict their souls that are lost and needing the salvation power of Jesus Christ. But Lord, anoint our ministries today. Anoint our brothers, God, that they might be thunderbolts. God, we know that we'll never get rid of the social leaders around this message, but help us, oh God, in the things that we're trying to do for your kingdom's sake, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Grant it, Lord. Amen. Amen. Do you realize, friends, as it was told to me a few months ago, some of our brothers in this message going out to a certain modern-day counselor, a certain group, he's got a website called Caring for the Heart. Some of our message pastors going out there to that thing to get psychological counseling from this individual. Some of the brothers told me about it, and I went back to his website and looked him up. Their statement of belief, Brother Cam, right there, almost the second or third paragraph coming down, we believe in the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Don't you see what it is, friend? Social leaders are only going to take the people back into a social system. And we realize what that system is. That's mama. She can only go right back into that social thing every single time. And every organized religion, every independent, Brother Bam told Spoken Words Original Seed that all the denominational under Billy Graham, all the independents under Oral Roberts, he said in the beginning of the second tape, he said, and we start the second part of the message, he said, I believe they will form together and make an image unto the beast. Every one of them, and led by what? Social leaders. Do you realize one of those very men that sat in front of this individual, he's a preacher up in Canada that just got through recently posting his testimony on the internet, a man I preached a convention with a number of years ago, and stood right there on the platform and preached the message of God and then turned his back right on the message of the hour and just recently posted his testimony. And the one thing that he said was, he said, how can a man like that be lost and going to hell. Somebody so nice be lost and going to hell. Don't you see what it is, friends? Social leadership. They don't see the true power of a man of God when he comes in with that word, cutting and shaping, as I've preached to you before, and molding and shaping the people in the image of Christ. They want somebody to kiss the babies and shake the hands and take a tally of how many said amen and how many didn't say amen. A real man of God steps in the platform and says, don't matter if you say it or not, I'm preaching to you anyhow. A real man of God says, I don't care if it's these four corners of these walls right here, I'm preaching that word in spite of who likes it or who don't. But social leadership, that's what we've got. Around the ranks of this message, all the way around, circling the globe, that's what we're seeing. Social leaders. They know how to socialize. They know how to draw in the people. They know how to tell the jokes in a certain way. And they know how to say things in a way. And everybody, I've seen them do it so many times in churches. They'd sit and smile and laugh and put their hands on their hips. And the women will tee-hee and the men will go, you know, ha, ha, ha. And they'll walk out and just be punching on one another. Wasn't that wonderful? And then a little man of God step behind the pulpit and skin them all. And they walk out so mad they can gnash on him with their teeth. Don't you see? If that's the taste of the people, if it's supply and demand in the world, it must be supply and demand in the church. So if that's the taste of the people, if that's what they want as a social leader, then the demand will be there to meet that. You know why there's getting to be fewer and fewer and fewer God-called men? Because there's less and less and less a demand for God-called men than there's ever been. Change your message. Change it. Change what you preach. Change what you preach behind this platform and start becoming a social guy. And send out your flyers for the Napoleon hot dog roast and the Oktoberfest and all these other little parades. Change it, Brother Cam. Change it and see what happens in a few months. In a few months, be able to go to the meetings and stand up and say, now I appreciate all of our God-called men in this assembly. How wonderful it is to be numbered with these saints of God. In a few months' time, this church will be packed out, overflowing. But tell me, what kind of quality people are you going to have sitting in the pews? Lord Jesus. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Amen. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Oh, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you, friends. The Lord knows I love you with all my heart. I certainly hope that these things that I've said to you this afternoon, I hope you don't take them like I'm rude or mean or anything like that. You do know I love you, don't you? Amen. You know, I preach this in a certain way because, you know, I travel out here and I'm in all these different churches. And the reason Brother Cam knows, the reason I come and lay these things right on out, because him and I have talked about it so many different times, because what's laying out there around us, friends, we want to keep ourselves from such filth out there. Amen. We don't want to be mixed up in all of that stuff. Could you imagine, and I'll say this in hush, it's just hard to when it feels so good in here like this, but can you imagine what kind of evangelist would I be if I came to the platform and I preached something sociable and nice? And every time I came to the platform, I didn't preach against sin. I didn't bawl nobody out. I didn't preach on this and preach on that. Do you imagine what would happen? In a few months' time, I would be every one of the big camp meetings and the big churches, and oh, they'd have me on every poster, and I'd be broadcasted around the world. This great, notable message evangelist that came out of nowhere. We don't even know where he came from, but here he is. Glory to God. How wonderful. But the first time you get up there and you say, I, my Father, are one, they take up stones and want to stone you. Isn't that what happened with Jesus? They considered Jesus to be a social leader until he found out parasites are not elect. Ooh, I better save some for tonight, huh? I shall not be moved like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Bless you, brother.